This is an oral history interview in the Black Heritage Upper Piedmont Project. The interview is taking place on January 4th, 1990 in Westminster. I am Yolanda Harrell talking to Mrs. Velma Childers. Mrs. Childers, what is your full name?
My full name is Velma Gideon Childers.
Where were you born?
I was born in Oconee County in Seneca, South Carolina, and at an early age, my parents moved to Oakwood Community.
What was the date of your birth?
The date of my birth is November 6, 1900.
Can you tell me who your parents were, their names?
My parents were Thomas Gideon. My mother was Fanny Scott Gideon.
Do you have any idea when they were born, each of them?
Oh, they were born in the 1800s, in the late 1800s.
Do you know where your father was born?
Well, my father was originally from Georgia, and for that reason, we didn't keep in contact with his parents much, so I didn't know too much about my father's relatives.
How about your mother?
My mother was born in Oconee County. Her father was George Scott. Her mother was Fanny Jones Scott. They were both born in Oconee County.
Can you tell me anything more about your grandparents? You just told me their
Well,
name.
My grandfather was born of a slave mother.
Now, which one is this? Is your
father's?
This
is my mother's.
Your mother.
Because I don't remember too much hearing my father talk too much about his parents.
Okay.
Only his father was Arthur Gideon, and his mother was Martha Gideon. I have her picture.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So your grandfather on your mother's side?
Grandfather on my mother's side was 12 years old when slavery was abolished. And we used to sit on his knee and ask him about, Grandpa, tell us something about what all happened. And he was very alert. He would tell us all kind of stories about how. And one story he told us about, which we all was fascinated with, he told us one time about how his old mistress would have all this beautiful great big tablecloth and everything. And he was a little boy up under the table. And if he wanted a biscuit or some bread or something, he would pull his old mistress' skirt. And she would slip him some bread up under the table. She would have all of her nice guests around the table. He actually was never sold as a slave because he grew up in the old master's house, you might say, because his mother was a house lady. She didn't work out in fields like the other slaves. She tended to the house and did things like that. And believe it or not, my grandfather's father was the master of this house.
Your grandfather's father was the
white.
That's
right.
And he was the master
That's
of his
right.
house.
That's right.
And your grandfather's mother was his slave.
That's right. She was black.
But she was a house
slave. That's right.
Slave.
She was a house slave.
Right. Were there any other children of that relationship?
Did
your grandfather have other brothers
slavery,
and sisters?
After slavery,
mm-hmm.
My grandfather's mother married a Perry. And she had some more children, which was black children.
She married a black man.
And she married a black man. And so Uncle Miles, we called him, which was he was a lot of fun. That was my grandfather's brother.
Right.
I think that was the only brother that he had, just George and Miles. They didn't look anything like brothers, but they was, you know, very close.
Was your grandfather very white? Or was he more
white? I can show you his picture. He looks like he was white. Yes.
He looks white.
That's right.
Right. The color there is.
That's right. That's
what about your mother's grandparents? Do you know anything about them? Were they in slavery?
They must have been because she had a picture of her mother.
Right.
And she was real white. Now we can show you her picture. She looked just like, you know, they made beautiful pictures back at that time.
Yes, they did.
But anyway, she had rosy cheeks and beautiful lady. We don't have anything to brag about. We don't. Wish it wasn't like that, but we can't do anything about it.
Right. Who were some of the other older members of your family? Do you remember any other stories about them or things that they told?
Well, I don't know. We all was a very close family.
Can you tell
and
me?
My mother's brothers, they were all very close, and they would come to our house, and we would always enjoy them a lot. She was the oldest girl, Fanny. And then my grandfather, Scott, had a lot of brothers and sisters.
I see.
And they would come, and we would have family get-togethers and everything like that. We would all enjoy them. Yeah.
Do you remember any other stories that your father or mother told you about slavery?
You don't want to hear about that.
We want to hear anything we can find out.
Well, I've got one which you mentioned, Uncle Miles.
She's recorded this.
Well, don't change nothing, but I was just saying I was going to ask my sister, what kin was Uncle Miles to Grandpa Scott?
Brothers. Hey, she might say, hey.
Where did the ancestors come from?
Then Grandpa Scott, Grandma, my mother's mother, you know, married again after my grandfather Scott married again after slavery was abolished.
Uncle
and then
Myers
that's
was
where
here
Uncle Myers
too.
Was. Yes, that's right.
Well, that's all.
Did your family own their own home?
No, my father worked public works. And at some point in his life, he got involved with Mr. Asbury Edwards, who owned a big farm down around Oakley. And he moved my father down there to work on this farm. We were kind of the fortunate ones because we we had just about anything we wanted under the supervision of this white man that owned the farm. And I was always the kind of a person, see me like there's a better way about it than this.
Right.
We need to own our own home and things like
this
that.
This man, Asbury what?
Asbury Edwards.
Owned the farm. And your father worked it.
That's
now,
right.
Was it worked mortgaged or rented?
No, it wasn't mortgaged or anything like that.
Did he pay him?
This white man owned the farm, and they would work for a certain amount of the produce that they grew on. That's right. They mostly grew a lot of cotton. And if they had, now my father was working on what they called a three-fold thing.
Mm-hmm.
The owner of the land would get one fold, and he was supposed to get three folds. That's the best way it happened.
That was the bargain.
That was the bargain. And so for that reason, we had just about anything we wanted. And he was nice and everything, but I still wasn't satisfied with that.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Did the older members of your family talk very much about slavery?
Well, they didn't talk too much about it.
I did.
I was asking you about slavery. Did they say anything about the slavery?
Well, we would ask more questions about it than they really cared to answer, because we would ask them, what did you do on Sunday? What did you do so and so? And they said, why black people now are late going to church? They had to cook the white people's dinners and everything, and white people would go to church, and then they would have to fix the food and whatnot and have it prepared and what. Then they would go on later. And for that reason, it has never exactly got out of the system of the black race. You would be surprised to know that when something gets perpetuated into a person, that it will follow a long time through.
Right.
Generation after
true.
Generation.
Yeah.
That's right. And it's fascinating to go to Goldstone Church. Whether you have been to Goldstone Church over in Clemson.
No, I haven't.
Well, you go by.
I will.
This old stone church where the white people used to go worship downstairs. They had a little gallery upstairs for the black slaves. And we went to Clemson University over there to Senior Citizens Week. And they said, well, how in the world did they get up there? I didn't know how they got up there, but they had a staircase on the outside for the slaves to walk upstairs. Mm-hmm. And they worshiped up there. That was the only worship they had. But now, the slaves, in a way, they had a way that when they was working down in the field and everything, they started singing songs and just making up songs to fit their need, like Swing Low Sweet Chariot, come for to carry me home, and steal away to Jesus. And white people didn't want them to sing or pray or do anything. I don't know why it was like that. But anyway, and then we would ask, what else did you do, Grandpa? Grandpa Scott would tell us more about it than actually, well, my mother and my father, either one wasn't born in slavery. And so they took it kind of as wishful thinking, as though it didn't happen. But it did. But Grandpa Scott would talk about it real freely. But you know, just a person 12 years old, he didn't know too much about it.
He'd forgotten.
Well, I guess he did.
Yeah.
But he would tell us about, you know, such as a 12-year-old would talk about.
Right.
But suppose a grown person, and there's worship service and things like that, they didn't have too much control over it. They just had to do what the master said and what the...
Can you remember what he said about what he did as a child?
Well, he played with the other children. He had... Uncle Sloan Glenn, we'll call him, was his brother on his father's side, but they had different mothers. Mm-hmm. They was children, you know, just played children, rolling hoops and playing ball and different things like any other children would do.
He didn't have certain work to do, though?
No, not at 12 years old.
He didn't? He
didn't have anything special to do. And then the old mistress would try to teach him to read. He could read, so she would teach him to read and how to write his name and whatnot. They didn't have any schools to go to.
So she educated
him. So she would teach him to read and write. Well, maybe they had little jobs like bringing in eggs in a basket and doing little things that children usually do. At that time, they didn't have pretty green lawns like we have now. They had to sweep the yards with the broom. And so he would do little things like that. But nothing.
He had no actually chores then.
No, not especially that I heard him talk about.
What were their names, the mistress and master of that?
They were Glens.
They were the Glens.
They were Glens. And my grandfather, when slavery was abolished after the war between the states and everything, you know, settled down, he resented his real father so much that he didn't take his name. And he had a little collie dog, a little Scotty dog. And he said, I'd rather be named for this dog than to be named for Glenn. So he took the name Scott.
Right.
Just from that little, and now my children, everybody find that fascinating. That we're not Scots, we're supposed to be Glenns. Well, he had some brothers. He had a brother, Sloan. Had the same father that he had, and that's how why we are related to the Glens.
So some of them kept the name.
That's right, some kept the name Glenn, but my grandfather chose the name Scott from this little Scotty dog.
Right, but that's why you have different...
Kid.
Do you know where any of the older members of your family are buried? Or are the graves marked?
Only at St. Paul's, where my grandfather's buried. My grandfather Scott is buried at that place, in that place, down at St. Paul Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And they have markers and everything.
Do you remember anything about the funerals in your family when you were young, what they were like, or can you describe any of those for me?
Well, I don't remember about any real funerals in my immediate family. But I do remember that if someone died in the community, everybody stopped work. And they didn't have going to take us to die in the home. And my mother and people like that would have to go and bathe the body and close their eyes, and they what you call lay them out on a cooling board and things like that. And everything was real reverent at that time. And they would make the coffins, mostly, make them out. One person had a shop that he would make coffins and line them with different things and put the body in. They would carry them in wagons drawn by mules. They'd be great big long line. Oh, you would be so afraid when somebody died in the community. Who's gonna be next? Everybody would stop whatever they was doing and have this funeral. And when they would go, they'd be driving real slow, you know. That hadn't been 100 years ago either. That hadn't been too long since they stopped all that. And I don't remember any of my immediate family having funerals.
Mm-hmm. What about any marriages or weddings that took place?
Well, my father was a minister, and we would have fun when weddings come off. Everybody that got married, they'd come to Reverend Gideon's home to get married. Sometimes we would get up out of the bed, or we'd come to the Reverend Gideon, we couldn't get to the marriage, didn't have any license or anything, just come in, they'd marry anybody. And so we would have weddings at our house because he was the minister and he had to perform the ceremony. And then after the wedding, we would just play, don't you wish that was you getting married? We'd have fun. Oh, we had a lot of fun. Sometimes they would come in and sometimes they would come walking down the road. My father probably would be in the field working, and he would have to go home, take a bath, and dress up and just marry this couple. Come on to the house, we'll go have this wedding. They'd get married and go on their way.
And he'd go back to work.
He'd go back to work. We had to go to witness the, you know, witness the marriage ceremony.
Oh, who would witness? Some of you?
All of them. Nobody there but my father's immediate family. Sometimes they would come well in the night. My mama, she wouldn't even get up out of bed. Your children go on in. We'd have fun.
So you all would be the witnesses of the children.
That's right.
What families around here are you related to by marriage? Or what families?
Well, I married into the children's family. I was a Gideon and married into the children's family. Mm-hmm. They were a big family of them, and they was kind of mixed up too. So,
was there some slavery in their family
must
and some
have
white
been slavery,
white parentage
right,
there too?
The Butlers, the Waterses. My husband's mother was a Waters right over here. On Hampton Street.
Right on the same street.
That's right. And when Frances, my husband's sister, was living right down the line, when she died, the Waterses came and broke cakes and food and everything. And John Butler, he knew that he still counts himself in the family. Yeah, but he's dead now. But now, you see, his children, they don't bother them.
Does your family have any old photos, some pictures? You were telling me about some pictures.
Yes,
could you tell me what some of these pictures are about, who are in them, and who took them?
Well, you know, you'd be surprised to know that they had good photographers back then. And I'm sorry that I don't have our family group. We had, that was before Little Bill was born, all of us. Now, that picture got destroyed somewhere. And I don't have a copy of it, but I can remember it very well. My father was a minister, so he was sitting there with his hand on the Bible. And he always would teach us, you know, Bible stories and teach us to say our prayers and things like that. He was, and we lived by those principles. That was one reason we never did accomplish anything any more than we did, because he always said, it's just as easy for a camel to go through an eye of a needle as for a rich man to get to heaven. So we all wanted to go to heaven, so we'd rather stay poor and go to heaven than to accumulate anything and miss it. We believed that really from our hearts at that time. But I always thought, I don't think God had any objection to you being comfortable. and having things like that.
What were some of the other pictures? You told me earlier that you had some lovely photographs.
Well, I have a good picture now of my Grandpa Scott with the group when they was founding Senator Institute. Yeah, when he was a trustee, they had. I should have had that picture made. I could have shown it to you, but it's down in Lafayette. But anyway, my grandfather Scott was one of the first founders. They found that they didn't have any education, but they knew that education could make a better life, and they wanted a better life for their children than what they had. So they established Senator Institute, they called it, and brought in teachers from other places and whatnot, and exposed us to things that we otherwise wouldn't have been exposed to.
We're going to be talking more about education later, yes, and I'll get. Yes. I want to hear more about that. Something about Gideon, your maiden.
Well,
name.
You know,
where did that name come from?
That was
Grandpa?
A biblical name. I don't know how my father happened to end up with it, but we were all real proud of it. Why did it come in?
We were talking about earlier about your father, and he was a farmer, and that's what he did
right.
for a living?
Yes.
What about your mother? Did she do anything, probably not outside of the home, but what did she do with all?
Well, she didn't do anything, only help
midwife.
With the farm. Well, Mama was not a midwife.
She caught babies.
Well, she
been on here. You were telling me about your mother, and what did she do for a living? She worked around the house.
Well, she worked around the house. Only she would go out. Now, she wasn't getting any pay for this. When she would go out into the community, helping other people, you know, tend to their children. You know, the doctors at that time had to get in buggy and horse and go for one place. And they made house calls. And for that reason, a lot of children, you know, would be sick. They'd have measles, smallpox, cuckoo cough, and different things like that. Well, my mother would go around helping these younger mothers or anybody. She didn't care whether it's her age or whatnot. But anyway, you know, you don't know how they would rub the chest.
Would this be both black and white?
Black and white, anybody that was sick.
And what would she do then?
Rub the chest with the big sides at that time, warm a cloth real hot and lay on the chest. And the way they would break the fever. They would take mustard, you know, just yellow mustard, put it in hot water, bathe the children off with that. At that time, children had all these communicable diseases like whooping cough and smallpox. And if smallpox broke out in the community and they had to vaccinate the people, you know, going around like that. Well, now she would go from house to house just helping people with that. And the other people in turn, if we got sick in kind of way, they would come and help us out. A lot of times they would have severe burns or things like that. She would make up salves. I remember used to go out in the woods and get this old thing they call heart leaves. Boil this down in a kind of, just boil it down real low. And when it get this tea looking stuff, it'd be green. Then they would mix it with hog lard to make a slag and rub children like that for burns. They had all kinds of little things that they would go out in the field and get, you know, just for things like that. Sometimes it would work, and I don't know if it would work all the time, but anyway, that was the best they could do. And that was about all she did. She didn't do anything else outside of home.
She was really an unpaid nurse.
That's right. That's
she
right.
was just a good.
That's right. Yes.
Nursing, would you say,
right.
would
yeah, yes.
Nursing was her field,
that's
her ability.
Right. Yes, that's right. Helping people with sick people was her main thing that she liked to do, had a talent for.
And you had, and she, and yet you had a large family. That was
yes,
seven of us.
Yes, that's right. Seven of us children.
And you're in the middle?
I'm the middle one. That's why I had such a hard time. I had to do what the ones above me said, wait on the ones below. So I'm the middle of seven.
Tell me about your three older brothers and sisters. Who were they now?
Well, George, that was the oldest one that I told you about. He was fascinated with trains. My father would have him working out on the farm. And, oh, he hated the farm like everything. He didn't want to get dirty. He didn't want to get his feet dirty and things like that. But anyway, we worked on the farm. We had fun. We had to do exactly. And when my father was a preacher, so he would go around attending funerals or weddings all from different places and whatnot like that. And my mama would go a lot of time with him and would leave us children at home. So this older brother had to take care of us. He could cook and do things like that and tend to us and make us do right and stop us from being so mischievous and things like that. But anyway, he left home in his late teens, early 20s, and he never was home again. So that left us with, you might say, two brothers, one brother older, and then the little brother, Tom.
And the second child was a...
Second child was a boy. It was Fletcher.
That was Fletcher.
That's right.
That older brother you just mentioned.
That's right. That's
what did he do?
Well, he farmed as long till he... He went off to school. He went to Seneca Junior College. Then when he got married, he moved in Seneca, and then he worked in mill down in Seneca, raised his family.
And then there's a sister older than
sister, that she went on to school.
What was her name?
Her name was Casadena. She went on to school, and she went to college, and then she got her first teaching job in Georgia, out from Atlanta, and, anyway, she taught school over in Georgia, out from Atlanta, at Buckhead, Georgia, mm-hmm. suburb of Atlanta. Then she married a man. She married a man from Lincoln University. Then she did all of her teaching in Georgia. So she lived in Monticello, Georgia. And he... That's a long story about her husband. Anyway, he was killed in just about the same way as Martin Luther King. He was killed from a jealousy and things like that. And his murderer was never apprehended. She had three children. They moved. They didn't want Negroes trying to hold them down and stuff like that. So they brought his body to Seneca, and he's buried over the Oak Road. She never did marry anymore. So she had three children, William, John, and Rita, one of the girls. So she raised all of these children. They grew up to be very outstanding. She educated them. The oldest son is a preacher now. He lives in St. Louis, Missouri. And John just died. He was a doctor. And Rita died this summer, so they brought their bodies home and buried them with their parents. So the only one of her children living now is with them, and he keeps in contact with us.
Okay, then, Velma, after you was another sister, what, Lurley?
Lurley, uh-huh. That's right.
And then Thomas Jr.?
That's right.
And then your youngest sister, Lula Bell, who's the only... one living.
That's right.
Besides you. Now, you talked about the fact that your father didn't own the land, but he worked it for this...
That's right.
...this other man.
Yes.
Did any of you, any of your older relatives, you know, the ones in your father's and mother's time, have to leave the area to find work? Did any of them leave?
Well, we had a lot of cousins and relatives and everything migrated north, but for what reason? Well, everything, I guess, wasn't going to suit them, and why they had not, what year was that, Little Bill, when all of these black people migrated north?
You know, some left.
Well, that's what I say, George, I told her that, about George going to Canada, Georgia, working on the
Yeah, but you didn't tell the tape, would you? You told about in between. Would you tell me about George going to Georgia?
Okay. Well, George,
talking about the relatives that left home, You were telling me about your brother George working for the railroad. Would you tell me the background about that? You said something about his being a child and loving the railroad.
Well, we lived in the distance where we could hear the train blow, but we couldn't see the train. And we'd know every time these trains, you know, they had steam engines and they'd blow whistles and ring bells and things at that time. And every time he would hear the bell ring and the train coming through, he'd pull off his old hat and throw it down on the ground. Someday I'll be all new. He was just fascinated with trains. And at an early age, he left home and ended up in Canada, Georgia, and got a job as a porter on the railroad going from Canada, Georgia to Franklin, North Carolina. And during that time when he had his headquarters in Canada, Georgia, he married a girl there named Gussie Pettyjohn, and they had one child named Edwin. He was Edwin Gideon. And as time passed and whatnot, Edwin grew up, and George got transferred from that railroad to the Southern going up in Virginia. And for that reason, he had his headquarters up there, and being a young man and all, I don't know how, he and Gussie happened to separate, but anyway, he left Gussie. Gussie died. And she was still our sister-in-law and Mama's daughter-in-law, and we loved her and everything, but she finally died. And when he got up in Virginia, he married again, married Florence, somebody. And so Florence